16. Today's the last Sunday of 2021, and usually around New Year's, end of the year, beginning of the new year, we think about, maybe we reflect on the past year, look ahead to the coming year. I want to do a little bit of that this morning. I believe there's value in looking at where we're at in life, looking at what we have come through and where God is taking us. Just a little bit of reflection on in the introduction. Think back over our congregational life in the last year. We've had two funerals here. There's two funerals that happened in the last year. There are people sitting here in this audience that were not here a year ago. Some of you that we did not know. There is some that are not here that were a year ago. Time brings change. And sometimes change is hard to accept. It brings changes in our life. We all face that. Today we're all 1 year older than we were a year ago. To some of us, the children and the youth, that's an exciting thing. That's something that you look forward to. There's more opportunities, more responsibility, it brings more opportunities to life. Maybe to some of us that are the middle of life, we don't think about it a lot. We don't feel a lot different than we did a year ago. Time's moving on, but being 39 isn't a lot different than being 38. Maybe when 40 comes, that'll feel a little different. But maybe to those of you that are older, maybe 1 year does make a difference. Maybe you feel those aches and pains a little more. It's another reminder that life is short and we're not here for a long time. Each one of us faces the changing of a year in a different way, I believe, different seasons of life. So we have a year ahead of us, the year 2022. None of us have lived in that year at all. It's a year before us. We could probably choose several responses of how to relate to that. There's a lot of unknowns in the year ahead. We don't know what will come in the next year. Is there going to be more change that's going to come in a big way in our congregation, in our lives? Maybe. We don't know. What's ahead? We could respond in fear. We could say, well, because of the possibility of change, we're going to just hole up and sit tight. We're going to limit our contact with people because we're scared of a virus, scared of COVID. To try to control the events of our lives to be sure we don't face any sudden disruptions. We could stay home. We could try to stay off the roads, because what if? What could happen to us? We could live in fear that we will have to face something similar to those hostages that were held in Haiti for 2 months. What if somebody comes and takes us? You know, even in America, we face a changing culture, a changing view about Christianity, about God. What are we going to face in the coming year? We could live in fear because of that. We could worry about the hundreds of things that are unknown to us in the coming year. Or we can choose to live a life trusting each day into the hand of our God and Creator. And as we go through this morning, I was impressed. Two of the passages that I want to look at this morning, I have about four passages, and two of them were looked at this morning already. Brother Anthony read one of them for devotions this morning, and then the memory passage that we looked at is another one. But the title of my message is Trusting God in 2022. Psalm 115, we're going to read this psalm. I'm going to read the whole psalm. It talks about trust. The verse that brought me to it, maybe you would say the text verse, is verse 11. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. I am going to read the whole psalm, though, at this time. Psalm 115. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. They that make them are like unto them. So is every one that trusteth in them. O Lord, trust. O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. Ye are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth hath he given to the children of men. The dead praise not the Lord, neither any that go down into silence, but we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord. As I mentioned, verse 11 is what brought me to this, and the first main point of my message, the first point of my message is trusting the Lord with a proper fear. Verse 11 says, ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. I believe one of the foundational and a necessary element in trusting the Lord, trusting in God and the unknowns that are ahead of us, trusting in him in all of life, is to have a fear of God. And fearing God does not mean living in terror or in just afraid of God. But I believe instead gives the idea of reverence and respect. Yes, we do fear God in the sense that we respect him. We reverence him. We hold him very high. He is a holy God. But for us as humans to trust the Lord, we need to understand who he is and recognize his strength and what he has done for us. We need to fear him. We need to reverence him, recognize him. I want to just look at pull a few of those thoughts from this psalm. The first way that we can fear God, have a proper fear of God, is recognizing that God is sovereign. Verse 3, but our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he pleased. This morning, we have a God that is sovereign. We have a God that is doing whatever he pleases. He does not need to ask anyone's permission this morning for what he brings about. We need to see God as the sovereign, all-powerful, all-wise God that will work out his plan in our lives. You know, we can make plans for the coming year. We can plan ahead. Maybe we have a project we're looking to do in the next year. And that's not wrong to plan ahead, to think ahead, but we need to realize that God's the one that orders our lives. God will do whatever he pleases, and you and I cannot change that. Yes, I do believe God wants us to call on him. He wants us to petition him, ask him for what we stand in need of. But God will do what he pleases. I cannot add one more day to my life when God says that my time here is over. Even the richest man on earth will someday draw his last breath when God chooses, because he cannot pay to extend life. Yes, maybe you can medically you can extend life a little bit. You can change, you can extend, help the life to continue, but when life is over, it is over. And you cannot extend life. We as mortals need to trust in a sovereign God because he knows what is best for us and he sees, and he will do what he pleases. The second thought under fearing God, why we should have a fear of God, how that helps us to trust in him. We need to believe that God is real. Maybe you say that's a simple point. But verses 4 through 9 talk about these idols. It says they have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. But you know, we have a God that is real. He sees, he hears. We'll just think about that for a little bit. We're not familiar with idols in the same way that, possibly in the same way that Israel was, whether there was actual images that they worshipped. But I believe anything that distracts from God and takes our focus away from him as an idol needs to be taken away, needs to be done away with. Instead, we need to see God as a personal God, a God that is real. He has feelings, he has emotions. First thing I want to notice, it says these idols have mouths, but they speak not. We have a God that has a mouth, and he does speak. Are we listening to what God has to say this morning? Do we hear God when he speaks? We have his word that's here. We read that word, we can hear God speaking through that word. Or have we drowned out the word of God with the rest of the noise that the world has to offer? All the information that's bombarded around us, the news media, the world's music. We can drown out the voice of God in our lives by idols, by things that we allow to come between us and God. Yes, maybe it's not bowing down to an image, but if we allow the world and the worldly influences that are out there to get between us and God, we will not hear him speak. We serve a real God. He has a mouth and he does speak. Let's remember that what the world has to say is empty words and will not stand against the power of God's word. God's word is sure. God's word, he will bring it to pass. Second point, under God is real, God has eyes. These images, it says they have eyes, have they, but they see not. God has eyes and he sees. He sees what I am doing. He sees what you are doing. Does that bring fear or does that bring peace to your heart this morning? Today there's many people that are living in sin and they've convinced themselves as long as no one else knows about it, it's okay. As long as no one finds out about it, it's all right. But we serve a God that sees. I want each one of us to remember that our God is real and he watches everything we do. And not just what we do physically, not just that, but he sees into our mind. He sees into our heart and what our intentions are, what our thought life is. He sees that all. He sees what you do in private. He sees what your eyes look at. He sees what you look at and dwell on. He sees what our minds think about. He is ever present and watching us. Does not need to be a fearful thing. Does not need to strike dreadful fear, but I believe it will bring a reverential fear. Reverencing him and respecting him. A healthy fear of God will guide our eyes. It will guide our minds. It will help us to remember when we face that time of temptation that we have a God that sees everything. I was thinking again about the testimony of the the escaped Haiti hostages. Probably some of you listened to that, the three-hour testimony of that one man, and he talked about the how the FBI agents told them after they were released or after they were escaped that they knew where they were. They were watching them from airplanes, and they had seen the hostages had seen these airplanes circling. They thought maybe they were watching them, but it said that they even knew that one of the children was sick. They could see that from way up there. I imagine they had cameras. They had some type of magnification that they could see them and watch them closely. How much in a greater way does God see each part of our life? He sees everything, even things that we maybe don't think about that he's watching. Those hostages did not know that those government officials were able to tell that there was a child that was sick. They didn't even think about that. But God is watching us. He sees every move we make. It's all under his eye. God is real. He has eyes. He sees what we are doing. And the third point, God has ears, and he does hear. These idols, it says they have ears, but they hear not. Are you talking to God this morning? He will hear you. How is your prayer life? Again, we can become distracted by the world around us, so much so that we forget that God is there and that he wants to hear from his children. He wants to hear each challenge you're facing. He wants to hear every struggle you're going through. He wants us to cry out to him for strength in time of test. God is listening. He has ears. Or do you remember that, or have you somehow forgotten that by the world getting, the busy schedule, the things of this world getting in the way? Psalm 116 verses 1 and 2 say, I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications, because he hath inclined his ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. God has inclined his ear unto us. Let's be speaking, let's be crying out to him, let's be asking for his help in our life. Next point, why we should be living in fear of God, how the fear of God helps us in trusting him. God is our help and our shield. In verse 11, ye that fear the Lord, trust in him, he is their help and their shield. We have a real God that's personally interested in each person. He's a sovereign God. As we were looking at, he will provide and care for each one. Verse 12, the Lord hath been mindful of us. God is thinking about us. God is not limited in his mental capacity like I am. I trust you probably also find this, maybe some of you can keep several things going through your mind at one time, but we have a God that can think about many things at once. He can be constantly, at all times, thinking about each person individually. He is not too busy to care about each one of us. Each struggle, each trial you face, the Lord hath been mindful of us. He's our help and our shield. Verse 13, he will bless them that fear the Lord. We have a God that is interested in blessing those that are following him. And maybe we don't want to take this promise out of context. It's talking about the house of Israel. But I believe God is wanting to bless all those who are following him, his children, the church today. Maybe we don't see the direct reaping in this life like the Old Testament saints did. Many times when they would follow God, he would bless them in physical ways. He would bless their crops. He would bless their endeavors. And then when they would turn away, he would bring hardship against them. We don't see that quite in the same way today, but there is spiritual blessings that we face when we're following him, and there is reaping if we turn against God. The Lord will bless them that fear the Lord. Another reason to be fearing him, another reason to be trusting in him in the coming year. God is still blessing his people today. I believe, thinking again of those captives in Haiti, they were trusting in God to free them. The administration of CAM was choosing to fear the Lord more than demands of ransom money. They had turned away the assistance of armed forces to free those hostages, knowing that that did not guarantee God would deliver them, but God did, through prayer, through many people beseeching him, he provided a way of deliverance for them. God will bless those that fear the Lord. Verse 18, the end of the chapter, Psalm 115, but we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord. When we trust in the Lord and have a healthy fear of God, we will be ready and wanting to bless and worship the Lord. We will want to worship him, give him the honor and glory. In the coming year, will I choose to bless the Lord? Will we thank him for the blessings he has given us? Will we thank him for the trials he brings our way? Will we thank him for the tests of our faith to draw us closer to him? I believe we can bless the Lord. Even though we don't know what's coming in the future year, we can still bless him. It will help us to trust in him. It will help us to choose to trust him. Second reason or way that we can trust in the Lord, turn over to Psalm 37. This is the passage that we looked at this morning already. We'll just draw a few thoughts out of this. I don't think we'll read the passage. Second thought under trusting the Lord is we need to trust in the Lord's timing. When we think of the future, the coming year, we cannot see ahead. We cannot know what's coming down the road. We have dreams, we have goals, we have plans, but we don't know what will all happen tomorrow. As you think back over the last year, how many of the notable memories you have that happened in the last year were things that you had planned? Maybe some of them were. Maybe some of those were things that you planned for and chose and set the time and the date. But there's a lot of times, a lot of things, whether it's something that was a great joyous part of your life or a sad journey that you were on, a lot of those things were chosen by the Lord's timing. God has his timetable. He's the one who directs our lives. He delights in people that trust in him and do not worry and fret about the future. In chapter 37, verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Notice a few things in here. Trust, the action verbs of what we need to do. Trust in the Lord, do good, and delight thyself in the Lord. And then verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord. God has given us things that we can do now. We can tend to get worried about the future. What will things look like in a year from now? Where will we be in a year from now? We don't know. But we have these things we can do. We can trust. We can do good. We can delight in the Lord. And we can commit our way to the Lord. God is asking us to do what is in front of us this morning. Commit the rest to him. Don't try to plan your whole life out in a day. Don't try to plan the whole year out in a day. you will become stressed out. Likely something will happen in the next few days, could happen in the next few days, that'll change the course of the coming year in your life. Instead, let's trust the Lord and do good. Delight in the Lord and commit our ways to Him. Verse 5 says that He will bring it to pass. What will the Lord bring to pass? What will God bring to pass? Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Believe God will bring to pass our way, course of our life. That maybe that's not the way we would choose or the way that we have chosen to go, but God has directed that. If we commit our way to God, we're laying down our way and saying, God, I want you to direct my way. I want you to direct my life. I want you to lead my life how you see best. And He will direct our way. It says He will here. We have that promise. He shall bring it to pass. Verse 7 and 8, we have another list of actions that we can do. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger, forsake wrath, fret not thyself. Sometimes we need to stop and rest in the Lord. We need to wait on Him. Fret not. Gives the idea of not worrying about it. Not, I think, of kind of worrying about things that we can't do anything about anyway. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way. Because somebody else's life looks like it's working out better for them, there's no reason for us to worry about that, because God is in control of our life. Trust in the Lord's timing. Patience is not easy when you're in the middle of a trying situation. Think again of those hostages that were held there for 2 months. I believe that would have taken a lot of patience to be there, not knowing what's going to happen from day to day, not knowing when they may choose to turn against them. They were held against their will in a camp with just a few other Christians, evil men guarding them. I believe they had to rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. God will work out our lives in His timing. Sometimes we think it would be better if our life would be worked out in a better way, but God will work out our life according to His will. Remember that He's that sovereign God. He will bring to pass what He will. We shouldn't worry about what evil men around us, when it seems they're doing better than us. Remember, God's timing is perfect. He will bring to pass. Then Proverbs 3, the memory passage that Brother Wayne read for us this morning. Trust in the Lord, not in ourselves. And turn over to that passage, Proverbs 3. Verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Again, we have that promise of him directing us, directing our paths. And again, these verses refer to trusting in God. We need to acknowledge God and trust his leading and direction for our lives. He will direct our paths. We can't trust in our own decisions, our own way ahead of us in the coming year. And again, we're not promised he'll direct our paths as we wish he would, but he will direct our paths in the way that he sees best. Remember that God sees the big picture and is directing our lives for his glory. And I believe it's possible in this life we may never understand, totally understand why God has asked us to walk some of the paths he has. But let's trust him. I believe only in eternity will we know some of the reasons why God has led us the way he has. Trusting in the Lord. Trust in the Lord and others will be turned to God. You can turn to Psalm 40. This passage stood out to me as I was thinking, studying, and looking at this passage and what it says about trusting in the Lord. I'm going to read verses 1 through 5 of Psalm 40. Trusting in the Lord, others will be turned to God. We live in a time there's a lot of fear. Think about the last 2 years and the pandemic that of fear that's out there because of the virus. People fearing to be close to other people. They're fearing to get too close to others in case they catch this virus. I believe today we have the opportunity to show others what trusting in the Lord looks like, what it can do for them. I'm going to read the first 5 verses. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my going. He hath put a new song in my heart, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. I believe we each have a testimony of what God has done for us in the last year, in the last number of years. Are you telling others about that? Notice in verse 2, he brought me up out of an horrible pit. All of us were gripped in the grips of sin at one time or another, and God has delivered us. Those of us who have chosen to turn to Christ have been delivered from that horrible pit. Notice then what it says in verse 3. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. So when we're trusting in the Lord, when we're telling others what God has done for us, it's going to turn more people to trust him. It's going to turn more people to see what God has done for us. That new song. Are you sharing that new song with others this morning? He gives us a new song, even praise unto our God. We're living a life that shows trust and confidence that God will deliver us from anything we may face, or do we have fear? Do others sense that same fear in us that they feel themselves? I believe if we've truly been delivered from the miry clay and have our feet set on the rock, we're going to be different. We're going to have a different song in our heart than the fear that many are feeling today. And I believe part of this new song is a joy that should be evident in each one of our lives. Do people see you as a happy person? They see you as someone who's chosen to be joyful. Are you joyful when everything is going well? What about when you face hardship or a setback in life? What about when you're offended by a brother or a sister, somebody that's near and dear to you? Can you still have joy in your heart? Is that still something that others can see? Paul said in Philippians 4, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care for me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. He said he rejoiced greatly, but then he went on to say, talk about some of the hardships. And he had learned contentment even when he was hungry, even when he suffered need. How will it be in 2022? Will you show joy in your heart even when you face tough times? I believe it shows that we're trusting in God when we can do that. And it's going to be a light to others. It's going to point others to him, just like it says in this verse. He hath put a new song in my heart, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. I believe it's the way that others will see God in our lives when they see us trusting him. So we each have a choice in the coming year. Are we going to trust God? Or are we going to react in fear of what could happen, what might happen, what could be coming? Let's remember God is the one who has our life in his hands. Let's not be fearful. Let's fear God, but not be fearful of what could happen. Let's trust God's timing. Remember, he has that master plan in view of our life. He knows what's coming, and he will bring it to pass. Let's remember to rejoice and sing a new song. In the coming year, like I said, there's many things could happen, and we don't know what they are, but let's trust the one who does, the one who has the future in his hands. Let's pray.